Is that it? Is that that works? This is all, this is weird for me. Cuz no one's ever, I'm usually accused of having too big of a mouth. So, and that's awesome. I want to encourage everybody, and I don't care if the gift is $5 or if the gift is $50 or $500 or whatever. The Lord can take a dollar and stretch it to meet and have it do what he wants it to do. And I want to thank Jared for allowing me to come today and share with you a message that God put on my heart 2 weeks ago. And I have been reading in Deuteronomy. And I think a lot of times we skip over the Old Testament in the modern church. We skip over it. We think that it's not relevant. But when you read through it, and granted, Leviticus is tough. It's tough. But when you read through it and you look through it through, at the lens that there's Jesus Christ in everything, every chapter, every verse points to Jesus Christ. It gives you a whole new lens to look on the New Testament. And if you have your Bibles, and I pray that you do, I love to tell the story, and I think I've told it here before. One time at Cowboy Church, Pastor David asked if the congregation to turn in their Bibles, and then he asked the congregation, if you have your Bibles, hold them up. And three people out of about 60 held their Bible up. So one thing that I always listen for when I say, if you have your Bibles, I always listen for the turning of pages. Always. So if you turn with me to chapter 12 of Deuteronomy. Chapter 12, we're going to start in the first verse. Let me get this glasses to go underneath that microphone so I can see what I'm doing. And this, God gives through, Moses gives after God had told him about a prescribed place of worship for the Israelites. Now they've wandered, and God's getting ready to take them into the land that he promised them. And they've been out wandering around. So let's read this really quick. We're going to read through verse 10. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you to possess. All the days that you live on the earth, you shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. And you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things, but you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place. And there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithe, your heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, and you and your households in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not at all do as you are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. For as yet you have not come to rest on the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. But when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord God is giving you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety. So think about what God has just said there. They've been wandering for about 40 years, and the time's approaching. It's getting close when God's going to lead them into the promised land. The land that he had promised them. That he had said that he was going to give them years ago. But because of sin and remember, Moses hit the rock instead of God told him to speak to the rock. and the constant complaining and belly aching of the nation of Israel, and that generation's gone, and they're about to go in. And as I read this, I thought, what anticipation they had. What anticipation they had. They've been hoping for it, yearning for a land that was more than hills and sand and cactus and weeds and rocks and scorpions and snakes. They've been yearning for that land that God had promised them that was full of milk and honey. Full of it. And God had set out some rules for the nation when they entered the land. One of them was that there was supposed to be one place of worship. One place of worship. And he tells Israel through Moses that you shall just go in and wipe out all this stuff that these other, because all these nations around Israel, they were the only nation that God had chosen to be his people. And all these other nations around them served false gods. All these other nations around them, some commentators and other preachers, demon spirits is what these false gods were. And they served them and they worshiped them. And God tells them, wipe it clean. Get rid of it. You don't need it. Every pillar, every green tree, you should destroy them. The altars, their sacred pillars, burn their wooden images. Cut down their carved images. Destroy their names. And I think about watching, you know, I'm a big fan of the Nat Geo channel. I like that stuff. It bores the tears out of my kids and my wife, and they leave me alone, and I'm just kidding. But one thing that the pharaohs in Egypt would do a lot of times is when a new one came along, they'd go through and wipe the name of the old one off everything. And this is what God, he essentially is telling the Israelites, this is a scorched earth policy. You don't need to leave any of that old stuff. Get rid of it. There's only room in your lives for me. When you leave that other stuff, if they'd have went in and let's say, well, that's a really nice temple. And you know, we've been in churches that are beautiful. Beautiful churches. But I always kind of shudder when I walk into this church. I like this thing. I'm like a horse. I want to just bite at that. But when I walk into a church and I see all these ornate things and beautiful woodwork, not taking away anything from the beauty, but my spirit inside of me instantly says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What is their focus on here? What is their, focus on God? Or when I talk to somebody, boy, we have a beautiful church. I attend church on Saturday nights where it is a barnwood floor and it smells like horse poop because there's an arena right next to us. And I've had some of the most spiritual experiences of my life in a horse arena. And this is what God is trying to get the Israelites. You've got to get rid of all this. Because I'm sure some of these shrines and these carved images and all this stuff, I'm sure they were beautiful. But God says, get rid of all of them. Wipe them out. I only want room in your hearts and your lives for me. For me. Because if they'd have left them, the temptation is there. Boy, that is beautiful. I wonder what that's all about. I wonder what that's all about. Look at the gold and the jewels and I wonder what that's all about. The temptation is there. God didn't want any of that left. He wanted him to be the center of Israel's worship. And getting rid of all this stuff eliminated the temptation. And I think back to the phrase that my mom used to say all the time, curiosity killed the cat. And I think back to my youth, it almost lost me a couple fingers. But it's true. That saying is true. When we take our shift, our focus off God, and we get curious about things of the world or curious about other teachings or whatever, and we take our eyes off the Word of God, it literally can kill the cat. And that's what God is worried about here. Get rid of it. Clean it out. God repeatedly warned Israel about the sin of idol worship and the sin of not putting God first in everything. He repeatedly warned them about the consequences of sin. That's such a theme in the Old Testament, even in the New one. But for me today, when I've been in my studies in Deuteronomy, the consequences of sin. I heard a commentator say, sin always pays. Sin always pays. Think about it. It always pays. Broken homes, broken marriages, your relationship with God, your relationship with your children, those around you, sin always pays. And God is repeatedly telling Israel, if you don't put me first, if you have these other things, there will be consequences. There will be consequences to not listening to me. God had delivered the nation of Israel from Egypt. He'd given them the law, and he was going to provide them a land beyond anything that they could imagine. He wanted Israel to destroy everything connected to idol worship and to follow the instructions he had given them when it came to worship. And that echoes in my heart today. It echoes. I kind of struggled with this passage of Scripture because I knew what the point that the Lord wanted me to share with you today. And then as I prayed about it, and the Lord revealed it to me, when we come to Christ, and I pray that each one of you remembers, I remember the very moment I came to Christ. I remember, and I've told that story here, but I remember the very moment I came to Christ, and I literally was, at that moment, a new creation. I was a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. All things have become new. Old things are gone. But we were like the Israelites for a while, wandering around, searching, looking, hoping for a new land. For a new land. And Jesus found us, saved us, and into that new land we go. Into that new land we go. But these words in Deuteronomy chapter 12 still apply to us. Even though we've been saved, we need to utterly destroy sin in our lives. Now, it's a lifelong battle. Because just because you're saved and you become a child of God, you still have a part of you, a sin nature. No one preaches about the sin nature anymore, but you still have a sin nature. We got to fight against it every day. For a long time, the enemy has had free reign in our lives. Sin has run rampant, set up strongholds in our lives. And just like these false gods, these altars, these high places that the nation of Israel would encounter, we need to show sin the door. We need to show sin the door. We need to be like David in Psalms 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the path everlasting. Lead me in the path everlasting. With the Holy Spirit's direction and help, we need to clean house. And when we come to the Lord and we grow in our walk, we have to daily ask God, Lord, show me what's in there that shouldn't be. And then when we ask that, we better be prepared for the answer. Because there are some things in our lives that we're probably just fine with, but the Lord's not. He's not. We better be prepared for the answer. We need to destroy our idols, our high places that sin and its commander has built in our lives. Sometimes I think, saints, that the enemy has an easier time working in the life of a believer than he does other lives. That's tough. But I think that he does sometimes. He has an easier time of it. Many of our lives were and still fertile territory for the enemy to set up an altar, to build a stronghold, to run the show. Too many Christians do not realize what they have in Jesus Christ. They don't. Some of us don't realize what we have in Jesus Christ. Last June, when we left here, and we thought that for sure we were going to walk right out of here, Miss Melba, and we were going to walk right into another church. We were just so sure of that. And the Lord said, whoa, 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 whoa. Well, you know what happens? Discouragement sets in. You get discouraged. And then the enemy gets a claw in there. And he starts working on you. And then you let him work on you because you don't know what you have in Jesus Christ. That song we sang a minute ago, from victory unto victory. It doesn't say anything in there from victory to defeat to another defeat, then a victory to a defeat to another defeat. It says from victory unto victory. Nothing about defeat. And that old devil, that discouragement would set in there in my soul. And there were a couple times on Sunday mornings, we just didn't want to go anywhere because we were so sure that the Lord was done with us. Well, you've served, and that the enemy lies to you and tells you that kind of stuff. And not only about that, anything. Slow down. He's a liar and the father of lies. And he lies continually to us, and we buy it, is the problem. Too many of us have bought into the lies of the enemy, and we remain captive to sin. We remain captive to sin. Jesus didn't come. He didn't teach. He didn't die on a cross so that you and I can remain captive. He came to give us life and give us life more abundantly. That's what Christ wants for each of us. And I want everybody to turn in their Bible really quick to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And if you don't have this underlined, I pray that you do it. Chapter 4, verse 18. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Amen. Praise God. John 8:36 says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus didn't set you free so you could remain captive. He didn't reach into your world that day and save you and just unshackle one hand, but left the other one, or unbolt one leg, but left the other one chained up. he who the Son sets free is free indeed. There's nothing there about remaining in bondage. It's not there because in Jesus, it doesn't exist. It's freedom in Jesus. Complete freedom. We're not captives anymore. He set you free through his work on, and through his work on the cross, he gives you victory over whatever you're facing. And whatever you're facing, saints, I don't care what it is. Whatever it is, Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the answer. Whatever it is, Christ is the answer. If you're battling depression, Jesus Christ is the answer. A relationship with him is the answer. If you're battling oppression, Jesus Christ is the answer. If you're battling addiction, and I don't care what you're addicted to, drugs, alcohol, the internet, pornography, whatever you're addicted to, the only thing that is ever going to set you free is Jesus Christ. No 12-step program, no 10-step program, no doofus rules that some religion has made up. Jesus Christ is the only thing that is going to set you free. If you're sick, he's your healer. He's your healer. That's so important to me because I know that there are many of us here that battle stuff every day. We don't feel good. Tim and Barb and Jeff and Miss Melba. But Jesus went to the cross. He received those stripes so that we could be healed. So that we could be healed. He's your healer. Whatever you're facing, he's the answer. Don't buy all this stuff that the world's selling. Have you ever watched TV late at night? I get a kick out of this. Well, if you're facing this, call right now. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen these guys. You send me $50 right now, and I'll send you this special prayer handkerchief that if you just keep it in your pocket, the Lord will bless you. Or old Robert Tilton out of Dallas, Texas, will send you a little vial of miracle water that he's prayed over. It'll cure anything that ails you. The only thing that gives you victory over whatever you're facing is Jesus Christ. Whatever high places, whatever altars, whatever idols you have in your life, the only thing that is going to come through and clear it out is Jesus Christ. That's it. He's the answer. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18 again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, and look at that last verse. Set at liberty those who are oppressed. Those who are oppressed. There is no reason, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you shouldn't be walking around with a smile on your face in the midst of whatever you're going through. Of whatever you're going through. My mind goes back to Swinney's Roger. And he always had a smile on his face. Always. He always had a joke. He always gave you a hard time. He knew what he was facing. But he knew he had Jesus too. And that's more powerful than anything. Than anything. Your freedom and your abundant life is in Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus Christ. We walk outside. We're gonna leave here shortly. And we're going to go out into the community. We have the answer. We have the answer. to what those waitresses are facing, or that waiter, or that lady at the checkout line, or the guy, kid that carries the groceries to your car. We were at Sam's Club. Oh, it's been a couple months now. And we were loading up the cart, and we eat a lot of stuff at my house, if you haven't noticed. We eat a lot. And we're going over there, and we're over there by the cat food. And we rock right by a lady. She's in, like, Mennonite or something. What was it? And God's spirit, God spoke to my spirit and said, you need to talk to that lady. And I was like, oh, no way. So I rounded the corner and I kept going. I didn't make it two aisles before the Lord turned me around and I went back. And all I said to this lady was, I don't know why, but the Lord wants me to tell you that he loves you. And that's all I said. She looked right at me and she says, thanks. I needed to hear that today. That's all. We have the answer. We have the answer when we look at her. And I want to, so we drove by the LDS church down here. And many of you remember the story about Sarah wanting to go. And she says, I'll go in there right now. She says, it's Testimony Sunday. It's the first Sunday of the month. She says, I will go in that church and I will give them my testimony. And I said, no, 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 we're going to be late. But I want to give a testimony for just our son Trevor. Has done 110% turnaround. That is a blessing. He got out of the trouble and he got himself down there in Colorado and he's got a good job. But about a month ago, he come home and he said, Dad, because him and his girlfriend, they have our only grandchild. And I know that's funny with Corbin being four and us having a grandchild, but that's all right. He says, well, I'm going to move her down to Colorado with me because I want my daughter to be close to me. And Sarah and I just start praying. We didn't even really say that much to him. We just start praying. Lord, this is in your hands. And you know you're going to have to handle it because we're sometimes the smartest thing that we can do and the toughest thing we have to do is to put our children in God's hands. And he called last Sunday and he said, Dad, he says, I'm not going to do that. He said, we've reached an agreement to where I'm not going to move her. We're not going to live together, but I can come back up and have Maisie with me and not have any involvement with her. And I just threw my hands in the air and said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is the answer for that boy, and he's the answer. I haven't had a chance to talk to him, but he's the answer for Steve, too. Praise God. I believe it, Betty. I believe it. I believe it. Freedom, abundant life. Too many of us. And I shouldn't say that I get a giggle out of this or a chuckle, but I do chuckle a little bit when I walk into a church. See, I don't think we should be somber in church. But you walk, we walk into a lot of church houses nowadays. What? Yeah, they say be quiet. I thought she was telling me to shh. She's either telling me shh or I'll see this in a minute. But you walk into a lot of places nowadays and you don't dare say a word. You sing your four songs. You get a 20-minute sermon and you go home and that's it. And that's why we love it here so much. And that's why the Lord told us, get back to Falls. Is because we smile here. We hug here. We love here. We sing. We clap. We talk to each other. And you don't find that. Trust me. In the meantime, we probably went to five or six different churches. not in any one of them was represented what you have here, what we have here. It's not there. And that's Jesus. You know, and I think that when we've got to be like the Israelites, when God told them to go in and tear all this stuff down and get rid of it and wipe it clean, start over. We've got to be like that. And it starts with the way that we pray. It starts with the way that we pray. How many times have you been, and I'm guilty of this too, but you hear this prayer. Lord, thank you very much. Bless this service. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's a prayer. But when we're facing things in our lives, addiction or depression or oppression or sickness or whatever, address it. Address it head on. You're a child of God. God doesn't want you to be miserable. Address it head on. Onward, Christian soldiers. That's one of your favorite songs, isn't it? Not onward, Christian mice. Soldiers. If you've got a problem in your life, if you've got a stronghold in your life, if you've got something in your life that needs to be tore down, attack it head on. Because remember that song, from victory unto victory. It may take a while, but from victory unto victory. There might be a little sadness or, but don't back up. The church, and I shudder to go down this road because we might be here for another 2 hours, but the church for too long has been in reverse. Well, that's there. I don't. We need to go there and lay hands on them and take a really big bottle of oil. But I think I'd find one. But we've been in reverse. That's why we see the things happening in our country now that are happening. It's because it used to be that the church was the wall that forced all this demonic crap back. And now it's not. There are pockets. But the church, I was just so happy to read the other day that the Methodists voted really close to support traditional marriage. And it was close. It was close. But the Methodists and these mainline churches, we've just been in reverse because we want to be loved by the world. I don't care if anybody in the world ever loves me, as long as Jesus does, as long as he does. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us that, for we are a chosen generation, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That just gives me chills. I'm part of a chosen generation, a holy priesthood. I'm part of God's own special people. And he has called me out of darkness and wants his light to shine out of me to those around me. He chose us to reflect his light and his love to the world around us. So we need to be like the Israelites, getting ready to go into that new land and tear it up, get rid of it, and let God have his way. This stuff's not worth hanging on to. It's not. We need to be that chosen generation, that holy generation. Reflect his light and love to those around us. Because we live in a world that is lost, it's dark, it's dying, and it's getting worse every day. It's getting worse every day. Get rid of it. And your victory over that stuff lies only in Jesus Christ. That's it. Would you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you so much for just the opportunity to come and share this message that you put on my heart this morning. And God, as each one of us bow our heads this morning, there are things in every one of our lives, Lord. Every one of our lives that we're facing. And Lord, you've told us over and over and over in your word that our victory, that our overcoming, God, is in you. Lord, there's things in our lives that we need to get out. Things in our life that have hindered us. And I want each of us, as Brother Bill plays this morning, I want each of us to surrender that stuff to you this morning. I want each of us, that hurt, God, that anger, whatever it is, God, that worry about something that's happened in the past, whatever it is, God, I just pray, God, that today we turn it over to you and we'd start living that life more abundant that you've promised us. Jesus didn't die so we could remain chained and we could remain captive. He set us free. And as John says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So today, God, let that freedom take place in each one of our lives. Let us leave here today, God. I just can't say it enough, God, that our victory over this stuff is in Jesus. Let's give us the courage, Lord, to give it to him. It's in Jesus, God. And I pray today, Lord, that if maybe somebody's here that they don't know the victory that most of us know, that they don't leave here today without seeking Pastor Jared out or Bill or Brother Jim or any one of us, God.